Father, we'd ask now that the thoughts and meditations of all our hearts and minds and the words of my mouth might be, by the power of your Holy Spirit, found acceptable in your sight. Amen. We've all witnessed two very important events in the last week. One was the very moving celebration of the 75th anniversary of D-Day, the Normandy landings. I'm sure that, like me, you sort of members of your family who were involved in that action. And two things really particularly spoke to me about the news coverage. The first was the mention of a young soldier. He was just 16, falsified his date of birth in order to embark on what probably seemed to him to be a great adventure. He died along with thousands of others to secure our freedom. What, I wondered, were his expectations and hopes that day? And then there on our television screen was the amazing, tear-jerking sight of the group of surviving veterans, now in their 90s, recalling those long-off days, remembering their lost comrades, their longed-for expectation nowadays, shared by their Greek and German counterparts, is for peace, that such horror will never again come upon our world. And what was the second very important event this week? Well, you might just have noticed the arrival of a visitor from the USA. I don't know what expectations Mr. Trump had, but I do know that all the thousands of protesters against what he's doing were dismissed by him as being fake news. How cheered I was by learning that Prince Charles had taken the Donald aside for a very much needed lesson on the environmental challenges that the whole world faces. Prince Charles lived up to my expectations. Expectations. I wonder, what were the expectations of those gathered in Jerusalem on that day of Pentecost? We celebrate the day of Pentecost when the momentous, stupendous outpouring of God's Holy Spirit came as a mighty wind, tongues of fire, tongues of different languages. Pentecost, when we can say to all our Christian family worldwide, happy birthday. The feast of Pentecost, the feast of weeks, as it is described in the Old Testament, marked the end of the Israelites' celebration of the spring harvest. It was a time when devout Jews gathered to give thanks and praise to God for his good gifts. It also marked the beginning of the time leading to the harvest offerings made to God of the first fruits of the fields. The Feast of Pentecost was a time which drew many people together, both to celebrate and to worship God. For some of the Jews, it marked a time when they renewed their covenant with God. And so a very important time then for both God and the people. Pentecost was seen as a time of looking forward, a time of expectation. And what happened to the disciples that Pentecost must have surpassed all the expectations they could have even dreamed of. A huge, miraculous outpouring of God's Spirit, not just centred on a small number at a particular time when others were not part of the happening, but on all of the disciples at the same time. All of them experienced the power of God's Spirit. They were all there. They were all included. The tongues of fire rested on each one of them. And soon after that, the crowd came surging forward because each one of them heard the disciples speaking the good news in words they could understand in their own languages. The gathering of Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, even from Rome and Crete and Arabic-speaking countries, every single one of them heard the simultaneous broadcasting of the good news of Jesus, hearing it in their own language. They didn't need a translator. What an event that must have been, far beyond the expectations of the crowds. And then there was Peter. Peter stood up and began to speak to the crowd. Here he was, Peter, a Galilean fisherman. He wasn't a trained orator or philosopher, speechwriter or broadcaster, and yet here he was, holding the crowd's attention, stunning them with his message. Some of the people just couldn't take it in. How? Who? Why? Where? There could surely be only one answer. He must be drunk. He was speaking with power, yes, but fueled by alcohol, surely. Perhaps those who laughingly mocked Peter in this were among the many who later, having heard Peter's impassioned words, were cut to the heart and desperately asking, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter began his sermon by recalling Joel's prophecy of a coming time when God would pour out his spirit without measure, pour it out on all people, sons and daughters, young and old, not just the rich who could afford to keep the letter of the law, but even on male and female slaves. "All of them," said Joel, "all will prophesy to the terrible events to come before the day of the Lord." And even this terrifying picture ended with Joel speaking of God's promise. "Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And all of that has been fulfilled in Jesus, declared Peter. Jesus, the fulfillment of God's promise. God's expectation of Jesus' ministry was no less than the redemption of all humanity. The Holy Spirit hasn't come to bring death, but life. New life, unearned, sudden, irresistible. New life for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jerusalem on that day, the Spirit's coming drew together the disciples and the Jews from every nation. And from that small group of believers on fire for the Lord, there grew a crowd of more than 3,000 people. 3,000 people. All wanting to know more about Jesus. The disciples had waited so long for this day. They waited just as Jesus had told them, and sometimes the waiting seemed difficult. Until on the 50th day it happened, the Holy Spirit came, bringing power, spiritual gifts for every believer baptized into the family of Jesus Christ. They had waited, they had trusted, they didn't know what was going to happen next. But when the time came, they were so focused on Jesus, they weren't frightened by the awesome events. They responded with joy. They went out to tell. They went out to follow. Their lives could never, ever be the same again. No longer were they told to keep quiet about who Jesus was. Now they were unable to stop talking about who Jesus was. When you and I, when we feel the nearness of the Holy Spirit helping us to pray, helping us to understand the scriptures, recalling their words to our minds when we need their comfort, their wisdom, their strength. We have no more need to be afraid than did the disciples at Pentecost. For God is spirit, God is power, God is mercy, God is goodness, God is love. He loves each one of us to the uttermost. He loves us with a perfect love, and perfect love drives out all fear. So when you are experiencing times of trial or difficulty, remember that Jesus promises to each of us, "Because I live, you also will live. Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Abide in me as I abide in you." The theologian James Dunn wrote, "Without the Spirit, there would be no story to tell. Without the Spirit, there would be no church, no way to follow. Without the Spirit, there would be no witness bearing in Jerusalem or anywhere else." You see, the Holy Spirit calls on us to free ourselves of our fears and our inhibitions, to make room in our lives, to allow the Spirit to work in and through us. Today is Pentecost, the birthday of the Christian Church. Today and every day is the time to free ourselves of the busyness of our everyday existence, to rethink our expectations, and to be open to the Spirit's leading, journeying on in faith to live as Jesus calls us to do, living up to the expectations of the kingdom of God.